It's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Boom. And what's up? Welcome back, goddammit, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. I am your host of Maniac Menace, Kyle Smith, and I hope thing like a pimp named Slickback. Today, man, it has finally been made. Finally, I make it around. Finally. I'm to the homie.
This is the last episode. He's like, oh, who am I missing?
Yeah.
You had to ask 7 people before. Oh, shit, you know, now that you mention it.
Finally, we get around. To that the
guy,
baby.
That guy I lived with for 2 years.
To the baby of the Young Funny family. Goddamn Paul Joseph. We made it, Paul. I made it here. Finally.
It was such a long journey. It's really hard to get to New York City. There's like no airports. There's no train stations or nothing.
Nothing at all.
Couldn't do it.
It's nice out here. It seems like I should have came here before.
You probably wouldn't want to perform here either. Like, there's no reason you'd want to come to New York to pass by your old roommate.
Yeah. It's beautiful out here. This place, it is something. It's not the beauty of it. It's like the grimy grittiness of the city that I'm like, this is the shit. Like, I fucks with this. I didn't think I would care for this at all.
It's multi-generational.
But
it's almost
the Yeah, just like everything to me right now reminds me of the Get Down. I'm just like, I just want to follow the Get Down, to be honest with you. That is New York, right?
That is the Bronx. That is like 10 miles away.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But you know, that's 10 miles. That's a good estimate.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a big enough city,
and you're still in New York City. 10 miles.
This is a fun fucking place. Like, everything's an adventure to me, at least. I'm looking in awe at everything.
That never stops.
That's good. That's good to you. You've been here a minute now.
My life is swirling in the toilet, but when I'm on a subway, my first thought is, "Holy cow, I'm on a subway."
Yeah.
that part never goes away. I might be financially unstable, but this is a cool place to be financially unstable. it beats Ohio.
Yeah.
By a long shot.
Definitely. I don't know nothing about Ohio, though, but I can imagine.
You already know a lot.
From what you say, Ohio seems pretty damn boring. Without here,
I looked at my town on a map. It takes up roughly 5 blocks of Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
That's about my town.
Oh, wow.
That's it.
Not many people.
And that's including a lot of the neighborhoods and... Oh, man. It's so crazy.
Yeah. But...
Just Sri Lanka town.
I guess...
a Sri Lanka town that we have to go to.
Are there Sri Lankan people there?
Oh, there's got to be a bare minimum of like 10,000 Sri Lankans. You know, there's Sri Lankan town.
Well, okay. It would be called that
in
for
Eastern,
another reason.
In Eastern West Brooklyn, yeah.
Oh, wait, down
Sri
here?
Sri Lankan town.
Wait, yeah. Here? Here
yeah,
in Sri Lankan?
It's on.
Oh, you're talking about this place, not in Ohio.
I'm making it up. Yeah, I was talking about here. Yeah, there'd be no, but we actually had a lot of Zimbabweans, specifically.
Why was that?
Because the parents were coming over to get like masters and PhDs. So the local university like extended a lot of like scholarships and opportunities, and they developed a relationship with just Zimbabwe. Also China. They'd have a bunch of like college students come over, and then they would buy super expensive cars to sell back home.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, here's our rustic little Midwestern town. We're humble folk, you know. You have to roll the windows up. And then here come all these like 2016 brand new BMWs, Jaguars.
So they're not going to let their baby go riding dirt.
And, you know, they're young kids, so they don't know how to drive on like cobble roads or know about how like gravel flings and starts. So they get scuffed up or they just wreck it. But buying another car to sell over there still outweighs like the loss of that one car. All right, just get another one. Because if they're able to...
That's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, so you've been out here for a year and a half now. Like what? Yeah. So we're as comics. How long has it been since you've done comedy since this pandemic?
I think I did like one open mic one time, and that was like that might have been like August or some shit like that. Mm. That one time. It's been a while.
But that sounds. So do you yearn for it?
I yearn for being expressive and also being all right with being wrong.
Yeah.
I've missed that because that's been missing from my life. So I realized like, yeah, I'm not catching myself before I make a mistake or something like that where it could have been preventable.
That's a good feeling.
Because I wasn't like being forthright about something. Mm-hmm. So, or taking a step back and being humble about it is like everything had to be just like if anything went wrong, it was like
getting into spiral. Comedy.
But comedy, you realize I can do horrible, I can make a complete ass of myself, and I can still get up tomorrow and do the same stuff that got me there.
Did you always know that you wanted to do it? It wasn't a thing in your mind when you were younger?
Being funny was the best thing because it was like my dad was really funny. His laugh was really funny, so anything that could elicit that.
Good laugh is always
he
nice.
He had, like, yeah, his something was, like, to remember. He was a big dude, but, like, he had this laugh like a, like an exotic bird. It had this,
like, he was, really?
Yeah.
Ah, that's awesome.
So, that's why, and then, of course, I was raised on a lot of the canon of American comics and shit like that, but also my mom.
You do have a very extensive knowledge when it comes to comedy, like one of those people that read up about it a lot.
I just like reading.
Yeah, I know. I know that is your thing. I was talking to John and him about this.
Just offering lessons that no one asked for.
I was talking to John and Kamar about this. Y'all are the motherfuckers. Well, basically, y'all are the motherfuckers that read up a lot about things. And when it comes to doing something, y'all read about it first before doing it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Electricity? Let me look through that. Let me look through this book. Let me see. I need to know what an ampere and a volt is right now. I want to know it's measured in ohms before I, God forbid, work.
Oh, no. I just want to get in there.
But let me tell you, that's why I think the pandemic, but also kind of living in New Orleans and seeing everybody have trades and shit, that really made me go, oh, I'm definitely lacking something. Mm. I should definitely get some kind of trade out beyond, because I feel like it would just contribute to my creativity anyway. Yeah. So that's why I've been doing, well, it's not really. It's just more reading. IT support. it's becoming a trade now. It's, get some really basically good skills. Excel, IT doc, Word good document.
Yeah, yeah, man. That's definitely good. I mean, shit, all my people, they work in some type of computer software type shit. So it's just like, I mean, it's still the way of the future, and it still makes money. So if you got knowledge in it, somebody's going to need help with it.
And,
robots can't do everything.
Not everything.
And so I know as a child you probably didn't think, oh yeah, I'm gonna be IT tech when I get older, but what do you think actually sparked the engines to start turning when it came to comedy?
Comedy?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought the best someone from where I came from could achieve was just a really good being funny at a stable job. Gary Owens is from Oxford, Ohio. He's the anomaly.
Uh-huh.
He's the black sounding white guy, and I'm the white sounding black guy. we both come from Oxford.
Or the white sounding Spanish guy, the white sounding Arab, depending on what your hairdo's doing.
And depending on what I feel, whether I feel like telling the truth or not.
yeah.
I love to mess with people. You
definitely Tony Frederick that shit.
Yeah. So. But like, so I, it wasn't a rep, but so, but I liked it so much, and I liked listening to it. And so, like, I would mimic some of that shit. I would definitely bring Red Fox jokes back to high school to tell my classmates because they always liked it. But It wasn't until I started getting into Bill Hicks in like senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And I found out about him and his story. And I was like, holy shit, he started, you know, very young age, like 16 or 17 doing it. And so then that's when I allowed myself to go, at the very least, like on a bucket list thing, I want to do an open mic.
Yeah.
I want to say I did it one time.
So you and put it on the bucket list.
That's way. When I that's when met got you. You, Kamari, Laura, Molly Rubenlong, Julie Mitchell. Like, yeah. And I met John through, because guess who? Kenny.
Brought me through. Yeah.
Yeah. At 12 Mile.
He was a recruiting motherfucker.
Yeah. No. Okay. So I've been waiting for this moment to tell
you. Yes, please.
Kenny. Crickets.
Harris. Chirp Harris.
So he tells me to go to Siberia Lounge first, which is, it's not the first in the night. I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
So he comes up with the unlit cigar in his mouth.
Yeah.
Like one of the skinny ones you get at Speedway.
Yeah, those fucking Black and Mild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, oh, no, not here, not right now. Here, come with me. So then we start heading to 12 Mile.
How did you meet Kenny? Like, what?
He was at some United.
Where did you meet Kenny at?
A United Negro College Fund 5K run.
Really?
I just got done fist bumping with my fucking principal or whatever they call it, the dean of Xavier.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling great. My student body president introduced me to Kenny because Kenny was on some student body stuff for Suno.
Yeah.
So they knew each other, and he was like, "Yeah, he does comedy." I was like, "Who? He does comedy, man? Let me ask him about like maybe doing an open mic."
Oh wow!
And so
your curiosity got the best of you.
No,
so, around college.
I mean, it had to happen.
You're first year of college?
No, this is my last year.
This is your last year in college. How old are you now?
Oh, I can't remember.
How old are you now?
No, I can't remember. 27.
Okay. All right, so your last year of college, this was when you finally...
This was, I was 21, it was October 19th when I went up. It was a Monday.
Where?
At 12 Mile.
At 12 Mile, okay.
And he didn't go up, and I was like, oh, maybe because he's just hanging back.
Oh,
I was like, because he introduced me to everybody, he's like, oh, he knows everybody. He's like, nah, I'm going to hang back, this isn't for me. I was like, oh, damn, he's just on his shit.
Yeah.
But I'm not there yet, clearly. So it wasn't until about 2 weeks in... and I, because I'd been telling people, I know, you guys know Kenneth Harrison. They all just kind of get, everybody's eyebrows go up, but their mouth doesn't move.
Alarm.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah. And, but it wasn't until like the second weekend I meet Eric Hollerback. And I was like, Ken, right? He's like, he's an asshole. And I was like, what? And my world was flipped, turned upside down. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean? So I started asking him back around. And I was like, and then I met you guys. And then I saw him act the way he would act in front of you guys, and I was like, oh, mercy.
And then finally motherfucker realized that, oh, this nigga just can't perform here because he's not allowed to.
He got banned from every place.
Oh, he was with a bad egg, dude. He was with a bad egg in the beginning, and I am so glad that motherfucker got out of that.
On top of showing me to the different shows and shit, still, like, we went to Howlin' Wolf. He wouldn't go up there. I was like, okay, he's just comfortable. Because he was hosting a show at Dillard. Mm-mm. He invited me to. I was like, oh, please, I've only been doing open mics. He's like, no, you're not ready for this, Paul. And I wasn't. So Dillard, you know, it's already rowdy.
Who's he to say, though? Who is he to say?
I know he had, but he brought up Shaq. He brought up Blowfish. He brought up, I think it was
Mario.
Not Mario.
Shaq, shit. Blowfish.
No.
Shaddy.
No.
Who did he have brought up?
Ruju.
Oh, yeah.
That was the lineup.
And somehow he managed
to ruin every single one of those men's... whatever momentum they gained on their own, he would just host. And I just remember sitting there. I was like, He's not as good as you led me on to believe. I was like, yeah. you just kind of gossiped up there. I don't think I had the courage to, like, tell him that I wasn't impressed afterward, but I also didn't have the courage to, like, I really should have told him something. I didn't say anything nice. I wasn't like that.
Being new to comedy right there, it's kind of, especially being fresh to actually talk to people like that.
Don't give your opinion. Who gives a fuck about your opinion?
Yeah, but you didn't know that he wasn't anybody. So yeah. Just to be
You have to be open-minded.
Yeah. And, oh, man. Oof. That would have been some bullshit if you'd just kept along with that.
Ooh.
He'd have dragged you on to everything. You're not ready for this, but I'm going to put you on this show.
But I'm going to put you all the way out in Arkansas. We'll headline in Arkansas at Yumadums. I'm going to forget to pay you.
It was very interesting times.
I've heard your stories.
Yeah.
I've heard your stories. I've heard Ashley Branch's stories.
He's a character. And he has a mouthpiece on him. He'll get you around places.
He's doing some fire festival kind of thing, right?
He's probably
campaigning. It's because some people actually buy into it. People would show up at the show. The comedians would show up and be like, he's not going to fuck me over this time.
As long as he gives me, I
admire that go-getter attitude. I don't have it. Like, if you're not convinced the first time I say something, I'm like, I guess I don't.
It would be nice if you had skill to back that go-getter attitude up. But
wouldn't it be great? Oh, that would be the best.
Not everybody does.
That would be reasonable, actually.
Not everybody does. It is.
No.
It's a crazy one.
But they have some. A lot of people have some.
Yeah. Yeah, my go-getter attitude is not as... Like, if we were building a character, you know, he'd be a character where his fucking go-getter attributes are, like, at a probably 85% automatically. But then his skill's like a 2%. It's like, oh, shit. Yeah, you really gonna have to work hard just to get his skill up, you know? Mm-mm.
He has Woody the Cowboy limbs. Just like
yeah. So, you growing older and actually fucking following around Kenan, at what point did you actually feel as if you grasped the concept of comedy?
I've grasped so far that I still haven't grasped the concept of comedy. I think I keep, what everybody says, the more you learn about something, the more you really, you know, the more you know you don't know. Somebody phrased it like that, but smarter.
Within our times of staying in the Shotgun House, I've noticed that you would always listen to a lot of, I believe it was a lot of Opie and Anthony.
Especially
with Jim Norton and Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah, I liked a lot of...
Yeah, that...
Thanks for... I want you to write... I'll pay you to write a book just about your perspective. Because, like, I think of it as normal time, like, but I just know that... I was driving you nuts the entire time and just impacting you.
Oh, no. No.
Just eating all your food. I think I forgot to flush a couple times.
Yeah, you forgot to flush a couple times. Those are a couple times I got a little frightened. I was like, holy shit.
So that's what you've told me. I can only imagine the stuff. The things you've been withholding from me.
Because
you're like,
man.
I think this would ruin him if he learned this about himself.
Most of that, everything's kind of been talked about. It wasn't really bad. It wasn't really bad at all. You know, it was just, you were young.
You're
very young, and so you really didn't have any...
I was a hungry boy.
Any hand skills. Like,
Couldn't light the pilot.
Yeah.
But then I was like, come on. I've had a heater in my house this entire time.
Yeah,
I've never had to do that.
That's understandable.
So, Redux, I was like, come on. Who here? I was like, come on, raise your hand if you've actually lit a pilot.
Everybody raised their hand.
Like, yeah, no. No, this is just me. This is a me problem.
There's things you get to find out about yourself.
I lit a pilot somewhere, though.
Oh, that's good.
I lit a pilot. It was
somewhere else?
Somewhere else.
I mean, they have instructions that tell you what to do on most things. But, you know.
True, but I knew the way to use it with incense. Like we did it in the Old West.
That one was an old one, and you couldn't really light it right away.
that one was always horrible. A draft that came you had to in. Leave it there for yeah. You have to leave it there for a minute.
Be careful.
Make sure to rotate the match. The match has to be exactly 16 3/4 inch long.
Wait for the click, and then poof.
Hold it at an angle. And sure maybe it'll light.
There. That was something.
Repeat steps 10 to 20 times if necessary.
It wasn't bad staying. I mean,
it was okay reasonable for the price. Yeah. When I live here in Brooklyn, I realize my half of 400, you know, of 850 is pretty reasonable. Compared to, and that was probably a little more room than this place.
Yeah. This is
have a hallway.
Yeah, basically.
We live in a hallway. We just stacked up a hallway. And no, not in a, it's not a big hallway. No, we're totally in the way.
No.
You have to make like a whole, I have to draw up a map just to help you get around it from your room to the kitchen.
One into the other. You
can't just run straight through.
And then this fucking Fisher Price stove you have here. Oh my God.
It's my easy bake oven.
You can send that to the pumpkin chunking people or the goddamn world strong man. Just see how many fucking little stoves like this can toss.
It can fit one chicken wing in the oven. And you have to... Yeah, there's only two levels in
this. This is wild. But I do enjoy just the feel of here in New York. Like, this is... It's cool as shit to say if it was just for one person. Right. That'd be nice. Two people? I mean, okay, it's not too bad. I mean,
you're
going to want to
spend your time away from your own space for sure.
Yeah, it's no shotgun, but this is a lot. This is a tad smaller than a shotgun.
It's like an anorexic shotgun.
Yeah. It's like a worm shotgun, basically. It poops out on both ends.
Yeah, so, it does have that look and that feel, and I give it that energy for sure.
But I guess we can get into actually what got motherfuckers to where we're at now.
Oh, God.
Talk about adventures.
I'm a victim of circumstance.
Basically, before we moved out, because we was living together down in New Orleans in the 7th Ward for a good little minute in the shotgun house.
And I wasn't happy with that.
it was something else. That's where I did my heroic dose of acid there, and that was good, it was good times and bad times at that goddamn shotgun house. It felt like the house on Amityville Horror or whatever. Yeah, you got.
Remember when the chickens would be fucking underneath the floorboards?
Oh man, too much going on at that goddamn house,
and way too early.
Remember when the cops came and boarded off a whole fucking area?
Are you talking about the second time or the fourth time?
No, I'm talking about just the first time, and no one was prepared for it. And then you pull up to your house after a long days of hard work,
and you're like, I just want to park outside. I'm not even gonna park. In Mr. Charles's parking spot. I'm gonna park ahead of it. Even if he's not there.
I just want to go inside and take a shower. Well, apparently there's somebody locked inside their house with an AK-47. We can't let you over to your house, sir. And you put a big M16 and goddamn riot gear on. Got the whole block fucking roped off. I was like, this is not what's up.
I mean, you know, some of that is you just took it the wrong way.
I knew not to go jogging in the neighborhood. I was like, hey, just in case these fucking
gentrifiers
take it in the wrong way. But you can jog, though.
I wouldn't jog long in the neighborhood. Like, if I was feeling randy, I would, like, jog to get to, like, City Park or go to, like, Pontchartrain.
Depending on how you had your hair, you could jog safely.
Yeah.
Nor if you had your beard on or not.
My beard keeps me safe. That's never been a mystery. This covers up like a good 30% of my insecurities.
Yeah.
It can't, like, nothing's gonna cover up everything, but like this covers up like 30%.
Makes you look a tad more fierce, knowing that you've never
I don't
had
have
fierceness in you.
No.
Yeah.
You don't even have to like threaten. Yeah, if you wanna like get me on the ground, just tickle me. You don't even have to fight, just tickle me. Just get me under the armpits, I'm down.
And so we stayed at that apartment for like, what was that, 2 years or a year?
About two years,
and then after that, we both went separate ways on our journeys. And y'all know,
and
how
not
my
because
went
we
to.
Were upset with ourselves, right?
No, just because that's what we wanted
we
to do.
We were just, but we got in our head. We had to move on and do something else.
This is what
there had to be another step outside of New Orleans.
Ah, and this is, comes to the circle of the disbandment of us two. And basically, I went to California, and everybody knows how this whole podcast started. My journey's from California down to Texas, and, you know, now I'm moving around doing things because I'm the shit. And Paul decided to go a different route. Wait, let's explain this first. Because Paul, for many odd reasons, is fluent in Spanish.
Yeah. Why is that odd?
It's very strange. Like, not everybody that I know is fluent in Spanish. And then you're a mixed baby that's fluent in Spanish, so you can pass for a Spanish person. Like we were saying, it varies. But then you came back,
yes,
and you boom, you are you're
I wasn't Spanish for long.
Not down there. wait. But no, before you went down there,
you
are fluent in Spanish, and you're fluent in Spanish because you did work at Ideal Market. Did you quit from Ideal Market?
I quit.
Cause you did. There was some crazy shit.
There's some real crazy shit.
I think you did some shit.
You waterbopped somebody. Before you know it, there's a lawsuit.
Thinking that we friends.
Oh no, no amigos. No. We worked. I've met and I've run into him many times since then. And he's so happy to have left that place too. Mm-hmm. It was a hell. It was a few different rings of hell.
Your reasoning for learning Spanish is because
I wanted to know what the fuck those Dominican barbers were saying about me back in Ohio.
Oh, really? Is that another reason?
I think that was one of the strongest reasons. I really want to know.
Many reasons, because the reason you tell on stage.
Oh, well, that one is a it's a great story. It's a very good story. It's a love story
It's terrible.
Midwest. I wouldn't say terrible.
Yeah.
She told me in so few words. Oh, actually, just these words. I don't
have
date
to explain me, what I, happened and who is she and why is she
Rosie.
Mean. You don't have to. I mean, just explain.
I don't know her last
name.
You
took up Spanish.
There's this girl. Okay, so on top of the haircuts and needing to like know what these guys were saying about me, I also had my first love interest, Rosie.
Rosie is a nice name.
Rosie,
this but
she couldn't.
Like a good,
she
I
was
like
on.
This
she
West Side Story.
She got on bus number 33, which was my bus.
Oh.
And so, like, she sat in 3. I sat in.
Yeah.
I kept it like I sat in 6, so I wasn't like too close. But I was within reach to like talk to her.
I had a crush. Her name was Cameron.
Cameron.
Yeah, she was like pale, tannish white.
Cameron Diaz?
No, Cameron Diaz with a short haircut, and she went to St. Anthony of Padua with me, and like this is the first time I had a crush on somebody that wasn't like black, and I was this feels nice, you know, and
you know it's something different than.
So I feel you. I feel I understand. Like I didn't have to learn no new language for her.
I did. I didn't have anything else going for me. Couldn't play sports. Couldn't rhyme.
So you picked up this. So how? What did you do to actually learn?
Attention
in class.
I just. You know what? It really is as simple as fucking that. How about you pay attention in class, Kyle?
I did.
Quit just adding O to the end of words and getting a chuckle out of your classmates and learn the damn
Spanish.
Learn to conjugate. Jesus.
Used it to anybody.
But
though,
also,
to my advantage.
I had the. I was also lucky to have, there were a couple dudes, from like around the Cancun area, but they started going to my school and I became friends with them. So they would talk to me some, we would hang out and we would like practice my Spanish. They put me onto a lot of music. I listened to the bachata, listened to the merengue, listened to the salsa, but I got started on banda music.
Banda.
Now, not the obnoxious shit, but it is like a big, giant brass band.
Oh.
And they got the trombones that they play.
Yeah.
Like, with the keys.
The trumpets?
The trumpets, but they also have trombones where they don't go... They don't do that with the trombone. They have keys, too.
Oh, what?
Some trombones are weird like that.
Oh, shit.
And they're just singing these love songs that sound so soulful.
Yeah. Is it all Spanish music love songs, or something?
98%. They're not very creative.
And the other 2% is like the cartel shit.
Yeah, there's a weird subgenre where they. So these guys are singing songs about your raindrops are like sun up on my lips. And, and then, like, they'll turn around and talk shit about one of the other cartels. And a lot of these singers got shot up that way. You're like, But your song, your number one song was Little Face of an Angel. What are you getting gunned down for? Why is your body hanging from a bridge? Like, what the fuck? Your eyes are like stars in the heaven, and his tongue was found in his...
It's like, the Colombian necktie. The
Colombian,
Wow. Oh, that's so wild. So you picked up... How long do you... Would you say it took you to actually have it to where you could speak it?
4 years where I felt comfortable, like, taking a leap of going out of the country and, like, then finding out, oh, shit, I'm still really bad at this. Like, it's not natural, so I sound, like, it's very choppy. It's not fluid. But, like, I could at least say stuff. And I could, and, you know, if I'm going to ask her out, I can understand see or no.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but after, like, 3 years of learning Spanish, listening to it, I finally, like, asked her out in Spanish, and she told me in Spanish, I don't date you people.
That's so terrible.
Right?
To just say you people. It's like, oh, that's fucked up.
I was like, whew. And it was said with that. It wasn't even said, it wasn't, like, malicious. It was that, like, there's nothing wrong with that, what I'm about to say. I don't date nerds. Yeah, I don't date doctors. Like, I just don't date you people. Jesus, that is
not your kind. Thank you for learning my language, dude.
yeah, I'm learning shit.
So from then on, you're just like, well, now I have this language in my head. Let's see where I can go with it, huh?
Yeah, might as well. But, you know, besides the most superficial, you know, the most shallow, I my great grandfather from Trinidad was known as the mayor in his little town because he owned a gas station, but he also spoke, and it said in the history book, our family, you know, history book, that he spoke Spanish and Hindi. Mm. I was like, ooh, what an interesting combination. You just sound like a very worldly dude, and that always struck. I was like, I gotta learn at least a couple languages. Like
a couple languages.
That'd be cool. Like I got like a healthy little start with Portuguese on Duolingo.
Yeah.
So like, if I hit that again, like I could pick it up pretty fast, like riding a bicycle. I'm interested in French, in Brooklyn Creole would be cool to learn.
Yeah.
That shit's so hard.
Huh. So a lot of people speak French around here, I would assume, huh?
Or Creole, a lot of Spanish. And you're dealing with a bunch of different accents. Because you got the Caribbean, you got the South American, you got the Central American. All the Central Americans got their own variations.
Huh.
And then then there's French, but then there's the different French Creoles depending on what island the person's from, or depending on what country from Africa they're from.
Right.
Oh fuck, you don't never know when you're about to catch a French speaker. You're like, what? Ooh, I wasn't expecting you. Like, I can feel it. Like I when I was doing some like volunteer shit at the beginning of all the pandemic, like I was able to speak to people in English, broken English. I could speak Spanish.
Yeah,
but then there'd just be this rampant. I'm like, there's no way. Like, I'm about to speak English. She's like, hey, man, how's it going? Good morning. How you doing? And I'm like, whoa. Ooh. That was a knuckleball right there. I wasn't expecting you online. But yeah, but there's a lot of French speakers out here.
Oh, that's nice.
You hear a lot of different languages. You're going to hear some that you're like, I don't even know where that's from. That's cool.
That's cool.
It's really
cool. Yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah. I mean, I expected to be cold, but I didn't, you know, I guess I expected what I expected, and this is kind of what I figured. It's not that bad, except for that wind.
That wind sucks.
I layered the fuck up. I get it. I'm small and under. I need to lay the fuck up, and I got my layers on me. The walking's not too bad. Everything's nice to look at.
Walking isn't that bad. If you know where you're going, the walking's not too bad, but when you first come here, you spend so much time. You think walking is a good way to, like, get the lay of the land, but then you realize, oh, this is too redundant. I've been walking for 5 hours and I've only gone like 2 miles because I've been stopping and looking at everything. There's so much stuff here.
Fucking, so myself going to LA and yourself, we had a whole going away party and everything.
I know.
Where did you decide to go?
Are you talking about in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks? Because those are two. I was in two very different places. It almost seems like the first 2 weeks never happened.
I guess just your whole.
So
start.
I set out to travel across the Americas, and I did in under 17 days. Because I had to stop in Mexico City. I thought I'd have enough money to at least make it, like, reach different, like, hostels and places where you can kind of, like, work for your keep.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff along the way. Zero luck at that. So I was just seeing how far I could still get. And when you do that, you don't pay what you should for like that extra bit of security. So like I'd been taking like, but like in the mindset of like, I need to conserve my money for this long ass trip through the Americas. So if I can spend 15 cents on a bus instead of $1.25 on an Uber, by God, I will. And that 15 cents cost me almost my life. But thankfully they just settled for my phone. they took a look at my Young Funny bracelet. Yeah, they looked at that, put my hand back down. I was like, oh, at least I didn't take that. I feel like extra shitty. But the phone was really bad because like I didn't write down the fucking address I was going to. I was like 100 yards away from the, but I couldn't remember because I was like, oh, these dudes have just been waving guns this entire time. So like I get off the bus. Like, they get off the bus first. I'm like, okay, like, if I remember correctly, I think my place is, like, right about here. I don't remember the address, so I'm going to get out right here. Not realizing, I probably only got off, like, maybe 300 meters away from them, and I couldn't find my place, so, like, I was lost and wandering around. And after about 15, 20 minutes, I realized, oh, by now, those guys have walked up this far, and are like, hey, isn't that the guy we brought down the bus? He's walking around now. It's a lot easier to get. Jesus. He's really lost. He's really defenseless. So I started getting really paranoid. I was going into every store begging for like, please, Lord. I just need internet. I just need it. Like, I'm trying to get this address. I can't remember the name. There's so many Rio streets with Rio in it. It's Rio this, Rio that. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I thought there would only be one Rio street. There wasn't. But then thankfully this center where kids were being like tutored or something like that, like elementary school kids. The old guy there like brought me in. He's like, oh man, you look frazzled.
Did he tell you this in English or Spanish?
He told it in Spanish. Oh. Like this, I wasn't somewhere where I could speak English.
Oh, it was, Jesus. It wasn't.
But he was like, you look, you know, here, look, sit down. Just take your stuff off, you know, take your bags off and sit down for a bit. So like, what's your situation? Do you know the name of the person? Do you know how to? So I was able to like get online, because one of their guys from there walked with me over to a cyber cafe.
Yeah.
Got me on one of the computers and I was able to, he paid for my like little bit of internet to log on and get a hold of my host and go like, help me. And so she came to meet me and everything worked out. But yeah, I was like eternally grateful for those people.
Oh my God. Like, it was so scary. Dude.
Oh my God. And I
how long did that process take?
That was at least an hour and a half.
Wait, between getting robbed and then waiting?
And like, looking for people. I was like,
oh Jesus.
It was like, by now they've seen me again. I was like, but don't like just dart off. Don't get any more lost than you already are.
Kind daytime, of deal. Nighttime?
Daytime. Oh, I always made sure like wherever I went, like if I'm going to a place, if I'm traveling, it's got to be in daytime.
Yeah.
Nighttime.
Okay.
Oh, the one time, like, but again, and this, like sometimes the buses would be late in places. So like I was trying to get to Mexico City in the daytime, and like the bus was late, and then the bus to like closer to my host house was late, so it's just dark, and I'm just going up and down these hills. It's very steep in Mexico City, so I'm just, and just all these doors and windows are just tucked in nooks and crannies, people looking out, everybody, you know, there is very local and would know if somebody, like, they're not just anybody walks through here. It's certainly not a 6'2 black gentleman with two backpacks.
Two of them.
Jesus.
Saying,
it wasn't me. Subtle at all. Oh my
rob
God.
Me, rob me now.
Rob me. Yeah. Is that how you say it? Yeah. I'm lost. So, oh, like, man. Thankfully, and then, like, I remember, like, about to, and I was walking, and I was about to step over this threshold, and one of the neighbors stepped and was like, whoa, 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 wait, wait, wait. Don't, before you go there, what are you looking for? I was like, I'm looking for this address. Oh, no, it's right here. And then my, like, host comes, like, out hurrying, kind of like, oh, wait, hey, hey, get back in here. I was like, what? You do not go down that street. I was like, oh my God, if you would have walked down there, I don't know what would have happened. Because you, listen, you want my first...
The first time
I stepped in Mexico, the first time crossing the border into Nuevo Laredo, there's like the, so you go from the Texas side, which is Laredo, and it's got, you know, it's got the Tex-Mex stuff, and it's got all the American newspapers, and you cross over, and then you see those Mexican newspapers where it just on the front cover, just two severed heads.
Oh, shit.
Look at the eyes rolled in the back and the tongue out. You're like, and they're just like two more found. Oh, it's like, oh man, they don't shield this from you, do they?
At all.
So I was like, man,
that's everybody that knows you, Paul, know that's not that you're not about that life.
I'm not about being beheaded. No, I've never found it. To be
any of those. No.
No, I like traveling.
You're not a guy that looks for that type of shit.
I'm not looking for it. And I'm definitely not trying to get close to it and like do like a special, like
everybody was so worried for you, said Jesus. You say 2 weeks. How long were you out there for? 3 weeks? 2 weeks?
It was barely over 2 weeks. I think I got robbed at 2 weeks. But in fairness, when I got on the bus and paid my 15 cents, like everybody else, some people get on, then three guys get on, and as the bus goes, they're like, hey, slow down. I was like, oh, these are guys just telling the bus driver to slow down. They're about to maybe sell something, or they're just trying to not fall. And then I'm like, well, whatever they're selling, everybody is like really wanting to buy it because like everybody's whipping their wallets out.
Oh no.
I just saw it at the corner of my eye. I was like, man, everybody's giving over wallets and are those watches and phones? It's like, what? And I had dumb enough. I had a decoy phone that I was absolutely all right with being taken, but I had the real one out because I was using the GPS to make sure I was getting to my place all right. So, like, they were nice enough, they didn't point the gun at me. They just, like, had it at their side, and they're like, look, give us the phone. I was like, and gave me the phone. There's three of them.
ain't no time to be fighting today, blindside.
No.
Oh, my God.
I think I recognize that. I do have an admirable sense of self-awareness, I do say so myself, that I took it upon myself not to, like, fight them. I just lunge. Can you imagine if I lunged?
What type of guns did they have?
They're, like, little pistols. Yeah, they didn't have the...
Well, I don't know. I don't know what
that is. I don't know. I don't know guns.
The revolver?
It doesn't have a revolver. Oh, he
said, I don't know guns.
The spinny things.
He did some spinny I know the motion.
The roulette. The 20, Russian roulette. The 29 oh, special. I don't know.
So
it was not one of those. Like it was like a standard. Pistol, yeah.
Like a little six shooter.
It looked like some. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A little bit of 22 or something like that.
It was not a little bit.
A little 38.
It was not. Yeah, sound like
something a little bigger. Probably not a 40 though.
We should look it up. Let's just cancel this. The rest of this podcast. I'm about to look up. I don't like looking this illiterate.
Also, they all had little bitty guns. All three of them had little bitty guns.
They weren't little bitty though.
I mean, well, all three of them had guns?
Yeah.
Okay, well, big dudes, little dudes, I mean, they're Mexican, right?
They're all Latinos.
Actors, those goddamn actors, man.
I mean, yeah,
you gotta be careful.
Yeah, I mean, I stood out.
Spry actors, yeah.
Tallest.
Yeah, definitely.
I stood out being so fucking pretty. I'm pretty, man.
You're probably the only one that they can see over the seats.
Yeah.
If they're looking in the bus.
You know, that's so... You know, and I was standing up. My head was hitting the roof of the bus. It was... I was a sitting down. I'm surprised they didn't, like, kid... Which, you know, I kind of pride myself on that. Like, they knew I was just, like... They kind of treated me like everybody else. Mm. They didn't go, like, hey, we could... kidnap this one.
Yeah.
No, they're just like, oh, he's probably one of those Haitian students or something. He's a Jamaican student coming to our school or whatever. Just give us your phone. Like everybody else. I was like, yeah.
That's so
totally.
Luckily, you're...
I'm just like everybody else.
Lineage gets you to be able to pass. Because, oh boy.
For a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what doesn't let me pass?
Quantum leap that shit. Just...
It doesn't work everywhere because, like... You go, like, when I went to Cuba, everybody told me the reason I stood out was because I had a full beard and, like, because everybody just shaves themselves clean down.
Mm.
They like looking like 17. Yeah.
Well, so what places have you been to?
Everywhere. No. So when I was in sixth grade, my dad took us all over to Luxembourg for a year. So I spent sixth grade going to school in Luxembourg. It's a little teeny country in between France, Germany, and Belgium.
Oh.
So, like, while we were there, besides living in Luxembourg, we got to travel to Belgium, France, Germany. I went to Holland for a school basketball tournament.
Holy shit. We lost
in the first round, of course, but I was blessed to be in Holland.
What the fuck, Holland?
England.
Your dad in the Air Force?
No, he was a professor.
Oh.
So
that's why you read a lot.
A lot of those books, there's a good chunk of books. Remember that behemoth of that very vain bookshelf that I got to maybe 5% of the books, maybe. But a lot of those books were his.
Oh.
Yeah. Not now, not as much.
I'd probably never asked, but.
Yeah, you didn't care. I wasn't interesting.
No, really? No? Well, you're interesting, but I don't really ask about people's, like, families and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it
comes out if people want to talk about that.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not really direct.
A lot of Western Europe, I got to spend, Spain was cool, southern Spain, on the, getting to see the Mediterranean Sea. That was cool. Italy. And then we took a really random trip out to United Arab Emirates, which that was interesting. That was a load of interesting. But then we got to wear like the garb and needless to say, we fit in.
That sounds... You are an only child, aren't you?
No, I got two brothers.
Oh.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
I got an older brother and a younger brother 2 years apart.
What?
Yeah.
Why did I always think that you were an only child? So there's more people that look like you?
I do have a very... He's like a solo. He's a very... He's an anomaly kind of kid. Like, he's a loner kid.
I always thought... I mean, snickerdoodles and shit, you know? Fucking cooking.
Just a shelter. Like, someone who didn't have other people's input.
Cooking goddamn pumpkin.
Paul, this is weird.
Pumpkin fritters? There we go. Gotta get it right.
Made pumpkin fritters, but you ate the shit out of those. You ate the shit out of my salsa.
Well, the salsa was very good. No, the only thing about the pumpkin fritters is because...
I used about 1/4 of the pumpkin.
Yeah!
Yeah, but I ran out of ideas. I know. I didn't know pumpkin that well.
Why would you get entire pumpkin, though? They got little pea pumpkins.
I was ambitious.
You was ambitious.
I had big dreams. I had big pumpkin dreams.
You made
Kyle.
So many fritters though out of that quarter.
I was like, I don't want that many.
It's
what
else could you make?
I don't want three times that.
Pumpkin.
Like you could. Like I appreciate fritters, but I don't want to live off of them.
I was
so I let
like,
the three quarters pumpkin go to waste.
Inside of the fridge.
Inside. That wasn't the only thing I let go to waste in that fridge.
Oh, you let something. Do you remember? Pot grow.
Oh my god, that's traumatic. So, but it was like a great.
I couldn't do that one.
That was not your job. That was my job. I know, but most of the time, my problem.
That reminded me of Katrina water right there. Oh. I was like, no, I can't.
And
it
was really reflective of what I was going through in my head at the time. It was like there was something I had. I didn't have the discipline to finish it, so I just let it fester in my head. Just let it fester and fester. And like every time I thought I'd address, I was like, "Ugh, it's too gross to address right now. I'm not ready. And then I would just, and then like, I think like 3 months went by.
Something grew in there. Something definitely grew.
And the chicken with all its like chicken fat and stuff was just like, and
that's what was it, in there?
And I cooked never knew it, what was and I in cooked there. It back. Oh, well, it broke down way past looking like chicken after a while. Because it was first made in summer, back when the refrigerator couldn't get as cold as it'd like to. It couldn't get as cold as it'd like to. Like, our fucking Kool-Aid went bad one time. So damn hot. I just kept putting it off for like 3 months. But eventually, I just mustered up the courage. I was like, this is going to be awful, but God damn it, I got to do it. It was awful. But I did it.
That thing off.
And I still use that pressure cooker to this day.
That fucking thing was so gross, dude. I was like, something is living in there. You definitely.
You know, I realized there were a lot of times I was just cooking too much. Like, I made too much in one batch. Yeah. I've learned to, because of this. I've had to learn to scale it down a lot. But now I kind of get tired of like cooking a bunch of little meals.
Yeah.
But I don't like the same thing over and over again. These are real problems. This is what I've been. This is what's kept me from going out and to perform. Like, pandemic aside, I was ready, but thinking about cooking really.
So after you left from your excursion, because you
fled. I fled my excursion.
You started working on Amistad. Isn't that what happened?
That slave ship, right? Yeah, it was. It was wasn't the slave ship. It was a boat that was inspired by the ship.
Who makes a boat inspired by a slave ship?
A state that is reaching for any excuse to not sound racist. Connecticut. These Africans were stolen from their homes, and while in transit along the Cuban coast, they rose up, killed the captain, and effectively sailed a fucking ship all the way up to Long Island. Back in 1839. And
never watched the movie.
Yeah, it's a good heartbreaking
never watched Green
traumatic one. They're the same. It's the same.
Yeah, I know.
It's the same plot line. You know. Jesus Christ.
Well, they don't die at the end of the Amistad, though.
Not all of them.
No.
I mean, you know, it's never fully. A lot of, you know, some of them got killed in the skirmish. Some died while they were in prison in Connecticut. But Connecticut was like, hey, but they stopped here. We put them in jail. Whoa. And then later they were freed.
Yeah.
But it's a weird history. But like they brushed against history. So they're like, oh, let's make a boat after it. And you gotta love it. But it was but they would use the boat as like an educational tool. It was it's a beautiful boat. The history aside, it's a beautiful boat. Yeah. It's impressive.
Yeah.
But me being on it was like a cool opportunity to kind of have a filter of like how to tell the story. I got to learn more about it, which was really cool. But
yeah, come lay on this bed. Right?
Yeah. Where's the bed? Oh, he was lying. He duped me. Yeah, I was. Man, imagine if that happened. They're just like, we got you. Like, this is how we got them. They thought they were signing up for an internship. But I had to take a drug test in order to work on it.
Really?
Do you imagine if that's all they had to do to not like be sent on the boats? Was like, if you fail a drug test, you can't be on the boat. We're sorry, you failed. Like,
sorry, no.
Damn.
You just gonna have to kick heroin on this boat ride. That's all.
Man,
shouldn't have took the drugs. That'd be terrible. Shit.
What the premise that I? Or the real thing.
No, if they took them anyway, if they were on drugs, it's like, oh, you take heroin? Oh, sorry about that. Well, he's just gonna have to.
And you got someone strung out on heroin working for you?
Oh, not, good luck not to even that. Strung out and try to kick that shit.
No.
If you try to kick it, you either. Oh, if my you don't God. Die, you'll probably become a great worker after that.
You're like, don't worry, I overcame heroin and became one of the most productive slaves in Virginia. I couldn't have bailed that. I couldn't have lift that many barges, tote that many barges, and lift that many bales.
Strong.
If backs. I didn't kick that heroin addiction.
Yeah. All right. So, do you feel like you're gonna get back on stage at any point in time?
I don't know. I'm letting it
simmer.
I'm letting it happen. I'm weird about forcing it just because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, so just on some, why do more people got to contract this shit level? I'm like, stay away from it. Over an open mic, it's like, I already feel underappreciated. I don't want to be infected too. And also financial insecurity. Holy shit. I'm way more. And besides financial security, just the impending apocalypse. I really want to like prepare myself a little better for that. I'm still in my I'm in my very hunkered down
at this point in time still. Right now, when I see people with their mask off, I'm like, oh, he got his mouth free. Like, he's,
yeah,
it's like, oh man, he's being ballsy outside. Well, in
he's making space. Me have to put my mask on.
Yeah, man, certain places I get weirded out. I'm like, oh,
you're talking about strange. Up here or just everywhere?
Not everywhere. Well,
here certain, it's definitely like most places. Like on the trains, it doesn't help when people got their mask down under their chin,
yeah,
rubbing their nose, the mouth, and eyes.
On the
before.
Train and on the plane, I was like, yo,
the train sucks. These train like, does like suck, and you feel like you just they're just pumping it back in.
Yeah.
There was about to go out the window. It's like, oh, no, you're not.
Yep, blows you back in. Here you go. Take some of this cough that this nigga just did.
So I really haven't been.
To leave a room.
So yeah. I haven't been riding the trains much. Mm. I'm usually riding my bike around. And that's cool as shit. It's hilly, but it's manageable. Cool. But it's really fun. Did you bring your skates?
I did not. Knew. Oh. That was way too much to do. And I noticed these roads out here in these streets.
There'd be some I could.
Certain places. No. Oh yeah, well, certain places would
and
be nice.
And other times you just gotta be you gotta be daring.
I would need some rollerblades though, or I would need to change. I would probably prefer some rollerblades.
You can find your own community.
Just as the rollerblades would probably be easier to get around in instead of the quad skates.
Mm-hmm.
I can move a lot faster. Rollerblades, quad skates would be probably more for a standard
place. Or your unicycle.
Unicycle takes too long and too much.
That scares to the get placed. Fuck out of me.
Oh,
still,
man, that there's
like just... you gotta wear a helmet. I don't care who you are, cause one like
I wouldn't fucking do it like people do by ride the bike. Cause
you're either just at a perfect angle, just flap. You're turning it from a 90 degree angle into a zero.
Yeah, oh, well, I mean, your feet, you would, I'm sure your feet would come off the pedal.
But if you're trying to, like, catch yourself, you think, no, I still got this. You know when you stay on an extra, like, a tad longer than you should because you're like, no, I'm going to, like, recover
sometimes
my balance.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you kick your feet.
I did that on the train once while it just made a sharp turn and I thought I could just regain my balance without using my hands because I just wanted to look. And, but for, like, a good solid 2 seconds, I was just on one leg just, like, waving to people before I fell on someone's legs.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I worry about that because I'm like, man, I don't know how these fucking winos and fucking drugs.
They have the
there.
Best balance out of
the
everybody.
Balance is impeccable.
I hope I
they
can.
Don't touch shit.
I wonder what their secret is.
Shit, I think the equilibrium is already off, so when the fucking train moves, everything's just normal after that.
Or that is their equilibrium is on the train.
It's
just that shikida, shikida, shikida.
That's what that
going left
so,
and right.
So crazy to see. And that guy that was his cadence of...
the walking back and forth?
Yeah.
Oh, there was a really
anything
creepy dude.
Help, please?
So this weekend I went Thomas. To... This weekend I was anybody? On the train with little Romeo, little doggy dog. And this dude was just kind of staring at him. And I was like, he looks like a guy who had a long day and he's just needs to look at a comforting little thing, like a little puppy. Mm. But he was smoking something. It wasn't a cigarette. And then he throws the butt like at Romeo's feet, paws. And, like, not, like, at them, but, like, in front of them, kind of, like, he cast down his gauntlet kind of thing. Like, yeah, what are you going to do? No, like, what are you going to do in response? And I was like, ooh, this is weird. And then he just took his hands and made, like, a... Like, he didn't clench his... He was slowly... It looked like he was slowly clenching his fingers from the tips to his... Yeah. Like, just closing his hands. Like, I was like, okay, we're going to get on the next car. Yeah. You never know what you're getting. And then before that, I had to... go all the way from Brooklyn to the Bronx, just hearing this woman, this black woman, say she was not black, but in way more awful terms. She was very degrading. All just hard R's everywhere. It pains me to even say hard R. I never grew up saying hard R. I never even thought of hard R.
Hard R.
Hard R. That's funny. I actually say hard R.
My brother would probably be just like, nigga, just say nigger.
I said hard off. I said hard off.
Shout outs to the broski. Yeah. Speaking of his is coming out today, tomorrow, Tuesday, next day after this day, which is, what's the day?
Today is Monday.
Monday the 15th. Yes.
So.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, this has been goddamn fun. Is there anything else I needed to ask you?
What I'm doing now, but I guess it doesn't matter.
Oh, what, you have fucking Amistad took you to New York.
And oh, no, I'm just fucking.
Did the Amistad take you to New York?
The Amistad, indirectly. One time we went around Manhattan on the wooden boat, which is cool, passing the Statue of Liberty. But because I was shipmates with a dude from Brooklyn, and he knew different, like, boat people in New York, he put me onto a job that was able to move me. I just had to move off of the slave ship. I didn't, after 6 months, I didn't like it. So, I was just, fed up, and I just wanted to get out, and I was hoping that, I couldn't find anything back in New Orleans, so I was like, what's the next closest, easiest thing to, or feasible thing to do, because I'm not going back to Ohio. And New York worked out, because at least he could put me onto some work. He knew where to find an apartment. Yeah. So it worked out. It was really...
Bingo bango.
Yeah, bingo bango. And then a pandemic, and then unemployment.
And that a rent strike.
Woo! Oh! Ooh, that's a... It's fun. It's great. It's really fun on my bank account when you just stop paying a month of rent. Month after month after month.
It's crazy how that's working.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but we have a good reason to, and we're going about it the right way.
The legit way.
Ooh. Being legit never felt so cool. Like the risk takers and the bad boy, like, see, this is what happens when you read. When you read the laws, you know?
Oh, well. No. As long as you find a proto, buddy.
As long as someone else, because I'm not going to do all the work. I'll read about it.
We'll follow protocol. Just make sure we get our shit in. That stimulus board's coming.
Ooh, I want to get my taxes done. I do, but I don't. They're going to be so awful. Definitely. Independent contracting sucks.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely did my taxes, though. I had to get them.
Yeah, it's responsible.
Yeah. Well... This has been a good one.
I think
I think we need to run up another blunt, and then we should probably watch the Patrice O'Neal special, since we both haven't seen it. I think that's the thing.
Not the special. It's the documentary. Not the special
documentary.
Yeah.
What is it on? I got my fucking.
It's on Fire Comedy State. Central, so I think HBO would have it.
Would they? Oh, fuck HBO. Yeah. You got HBO Max? No. I got my Fire Stick. Okay. We can get
that is a very valuable tool.
Very much so. Like, all you need is the internet. And that's it. Then you can just jump passwords with people for anything that you want to get. And it's just how the fucking world works. I don't know why
they try. They insist on charging us. Just let it be free, man.
I don't know. People still get charged. Like, Netflix is up their prices, so you can have more than four people on a on your platform. So, like, if you have a like, at first I used to pay for the $7.99 package. You can have up to, like, 79. Four people.
$7.99?
Yeah. $7.99.
$7. Oh, $7.99 for four. But that's actually, okay.
And for, like, but I think it's just for, like, two. That's back then. Now, this is now. Like, but then they upped the price. Well, I think it's a little more than that now. It's probably like $8.99 or something like that. But then they upped it, and it's like, oh, you... Because they won't allow more people to be on your password. You'd have to switch it.
Right.
So they upped it, and it was like, if you want more people to be able to share with, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess. Whatever. If that's what you want to do with life, that's how you feel.
I want... We should edit out whatever interesting stuff we talked about earlier and put this in it.
Just yeah.
Put this part in this part, place.
This part sucked. Yeah.
All That's right. my job. It's like you're taking my joke.
But yeah, man, let everybody know where they can find you at, Paul. If they can, they want to look for you and see what you're doing.
My address and my social security and my phone number. Find me at Yo Soy Paul Joseph.
Yo Soy Paul Joseph.
On Instagram. You can find me on Twitter, but I haven't been on that since a year ago. And I still get more followers than when I said shit on there. So I think they're like, I like what he has to say. And that's
Definitely know nothing about how my followers are looking on Twitter.
I don't care.
Yeah, I definitely don't.
Don't care. Instagram is way more fun.
Instagram is pretty fun. I stay on Facebook just for the family. But
Facebook is for the family, and I check that maybe once every 2 weeks. I've been a lot happier without checking that constantly. I used to have like a muscle. I used to have muscle memory of like how to log on to Facebook. I could do it without looking easily.
It's a big process. You got to do the login. I just press the button, and it's already there. And I don't really log out. It just stays logged in.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just knew how to open my phone and then just go to the app. Yeah.
That's
I could do it without looking. I could do it behind my back. I could do it behind my head. I could do it in a chair. I could do it way up there.
It's terrible that you did that. Well, that is good, though. I'm glad that everybody knows where to find you at. Your story, Paul Joseph. And yes, this has been Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing a dream. I've been your host, Monac, Menace Cosman. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. I'm able to say that a little quicker now just because, you know, I keep saying it at the end of things. Also, man, like, share, subscribe, or whatever the fuck you're supposed to do with this shit. You know, just enjoy. Tell somebody. There you go. Tell somebody. Tell somebody about it, and then tell them to like it and subscribe it or whatever, and you know, you do that. Or if you want to fucking hit me up, I got a new email. It's tellmeajokeyo@gmail.com.
I'll give out his personal phone number. You can contact him directly, unannounced.
Tellmeajokeyo. Yeah, I think that, yeah. Y-O, yo, at the end. Tellmeajokeyo@gmail.com. So, yeah. Until next time, Jokers, y'all have a good one.